value on our lives. And Lord, that you know us, that you created us. And I pray, Lord, though I know most everyone in this room values life, we'll be reminded again of the incredible, awesome value of human life. Would you speak to our hearts this morning? Lord, my heart is full. Lord, I love it when you do things that are beyond our control and remind us that you are sovereign. For Lord, we planned this series months ago. Yet you knew that I would preach on it a week later after having a brand new baby. So Lord, I pray for those who don't know that, that are here guests today, they'll know that God cares about the most intimate details of our life. And Lord, you have prepared this message for somebody today. Some of it's for me. Some of it's for them. So I yield my mind and my heart and my lips and my tongue to you, the Holy Spirit, to speak in power and in truth. And Lord, we come to a time of invitation in a few moments. May we respond to what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Jeremiah chapter number 1? Jeremiah chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 4. Beginning in verse number 4. We'll look at that in just a moment. Let me just stop and say in every way possible, and this will not even do it justice. But my wife, if she were able to be here this morning, she's actually holding Emma as we speak. She sent me a text message, another picture, even as we speak. We cannot say thank you enough to our church family. You have been gracious to love us from a distance. We went in last Friday night late. She woke me up. Well, actually, we never went to sleep. About 11 o'clock and 11:30, and her blood pressure had shot back up again. We'd been at the doctor every day last week or week before last, and we got to the hospital. Blood pressure was very high, almost a stroke level, and that earned Emma an early birthday by a long shot. She was 29 weeks, born this time a week ago, about 8:10, and she came into the world. In a surprise to us, she has proven to be a surprise from day one, and she has continued that. I can only imagine the surprises we have in store. Some of you have blessed me by encouraging words today of all the surprises I'm in for. So thank you for those words of encouragement. But thank you for loving us from a distance. The doctor, when she first came in, said, listen, you don't need any visitors with this preeclampsia and high blood pressure. You need to just be still and quiet. In other words, he was saying that I was more than enough entertainment for her to keep her blood pressure high myself, is what he was trying to say. And so thank you for loving us from a distance. I know that's hard to do. Many of you called and texted, and I'm doing my very best. I've returned all the text messages, and now I'm working on phone calls this afternoon, and I'm going to return Facebook messages too. So if you'll be patient, I promise you, I'm going to do my very best to answer every one of you, because it means the world to us. We've read every comment. We've tried to do it on Facebook. It's a little bit vulnerable feeling for us to post all this stuff on Facebook. I'm not a big Facebook fan, posting all that kind of stuff, but it helps keep you in the loop and know how to pray, and we've been carried by your prayers, I cannot tell you, in many, many ways. And so we are humbled and grateful beyond words, and so thank you for praying, for loving on us. We've got a long road to go, but she is like her mother, and she is a fighter, and she has been fighting thus far. I know a lot of you have Facebook, so some of you have seen these pictures, so my apologies for those of you who have seen pictures, but y'all don't mind if I get my picture book out? Do y'all mind? Is this for a brief moment? All right, good. I was going to show them whether you said yes or not anyway. But so Emma Greer, this is not long after she arrived. She was not happy. She screamed the moment she came out of mommy's tummy and said, hey, here I am. She is T90. She is in baby doll diapers. No lie. She is the diaper's about that big, and I can hold her in both of my hands right here. She is, I told my wife, it's like holding a can of green beans, weighs as much as she does. She is T90. Y'all can say, oh, don't you always want to say, oh, you see a baby like that? Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. That's so kind of you. Just to kind of walk you through our journey this week, you can go ahead and just kind of roll through. The pacifier is bigger than her whole lips and mouth and nose and everything else. Yeah, who cares about us, right? Next, all right, go ahead. We did CPAP. We're off that now. Thankfully, we're on the nasal, just the nasal oxygen. She's doing great with her breathing. I took that picture for D. Where you at, Dee? Dee's still not in here. She is all around. She said, that girl's going to have you in her, you know, have, you're going to be, you know, what is it, wrapped around your finger. That's the phrase. So there she is, wrapped around her finger. She's getting her suntan right there, by the way. Getting a little suntan. on the way around. We got to hold her for the first time. I reckon I hold her Monday night. I think this was maybe Wednesday or Thursday we got to hold her, which is awesome. They call it kangaroo time. That's why I was showing off my awesome pectoral muscles y'all got to see. My apologies for that. But that's the size of her foot. It is T90. Go on the next one, if you will. So cute, though, isn't it? So cute. All right, let's go to the next one, if you will. Nice. See your little wedding rings there? I should be a photographer. I told my wife I should be a professional photographer. I'm so good. Just keep rolling through, Michael. It'll be great. Isn't that good? Look, I'm holding my hands. How funny is that? Yeah, amazing. That's the last one. Go back to the praying one. I like the praying one. We looked down. I was taking the picture. We looked down. It's back up too, I think it was, Michael. We looked down, and man, she had her hands together praying. I thought it was pretty spectacular. So you're going to be a preacher's kid. So you got to know how to pray. That's good. I got to work that out. So that works out good. So that's Emma Greer. I want to share with you this message this morning. Thank you. Yes, indeed. She is down to 2 pounds and 7 ounces, so she's going the wrong way. We're going to get her going the right way. She's almost off the IV drip, and we're going to be there about 8 to 12 weeks, they tell us, somewhere in that time frame. So we're going to become best friends with Wesley Medical Center and all those nurses, and we've made some great friends for sure, and they have been very kind to us for sure. So my schedule is going to be a little bit whacked out, so if you'll be patient, I know you will with us as we try to adjust and doing those kinds of things to spend as much time with her as we can. And I'm praying for our boys as they adjust to being big brothers, and they've done amazing this week. Their world's been upside down, and so thank you. By the way, Emma's name, we picked it out intentionally. We didn't really exactly know it, but we know it for sure. Now, it means complete. We are complete. The doctor asked me right before, after she delivered, he said, I just want to make sure one more time. I said, you don't have to make sure. It is an absolute yes. Tie, burn, whatever you got to do. Let's not make a chance at it. If I have another one, I promise you, I will sue you. I promise you. I guarantee you. And we love our doctor a lot, and so we had some good words. That is for sure. Well, this series, I Value, we didn't get to start it last week, and I'm going to try to pick up just last week's sermon was a massive sermon in and of itself. Probably could do a month's worth of sermons on the glory of God. But we're going to talk about things that we value. I Value, we kind of picked this up, but you can barely see the background here, but in the background of this image is the word I Am. We don't know what to value in life if we don't know what God values. See, the reason our world is so fouled up and doesn't know what to value is because they're basing their values on what they value. And you see, as a follower of Christ, we know what our values are. We found them in the Word of God, and we find them in God Himself. And really, we have to ask this question, what is it that God values? The word value means something we place worth in, something that is significant, something that we place time and energy and effort into, that we say, I treasure that. Well, if we're going to know what to value, we need to ask ourselves the question, what does God value? And we know that God values, first of all, God values His glory. God values the glory of Himself. This statement is made in a book. Now listen, God enjoys being God. Now you just stop and let that sit and roll around in your brain a while. It'll sit there a while if you think about that statement for a moment. Written in the Westminster Catechism in 1647, this statement was made that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We are to value God's glory. Secondly, we want to talk about this morning is to value life. We know that God values life. We're sitting here breathing this morning. We know that God values life. He is the creator of life. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. And even deciding when our life on this earth is over. We don't get to determine when we're born. We don't determine when we die. That is left up to the Lord. He valued life so much, our lives, your life, that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die to show us, to demonstrate to us that He values our lives. Now, our world does not value life. We know today, and I'm not going to preach about this. I'm going to simply make this one statement and move on. We know that up to this point, over 50 million babies have been murdered since 1973 in this country alone. 50 million. million. Let that number sink in to you for just a moment. It is astonishing. I've heard the lady speak on video, not live, the lady who started this case, Roe v. Wade. That is not her name. She was not pregnant at the time. She brought a case and won. She has now since then become a believer and now is a pro-life advocate speaking against abortion. And let me be clear about this one statement about abortion. As followers of Christ, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that life begins at conception. That is not somebody's idea. That is not some man's opinion, folks. That comes straight from the Word of God. And there is no varying on that whatsoever. Now, on that statement, I want to be very clear because I've been involved over the last 11 years with crisis pregnancy centers. I'd never really come into contact but a few times with women who were post-abortive. Statistics tell us in an average church that 1 in 4 women in their lifetime have experienced an abortion. That is an extraordinarily high number. So it is highly likely some of you have walked through that experience in your life, and it's also highly likely that many of you have never dealt with that experience. One of the greatest moments in my ministry, since I've been in ministry almost 25 years, was to get to go to a workshop, a service at the very end of a class, not the right word, but a journey for post-abortive women called Forgiven and Set Free. Most touching things I've ever been a part of. I've never cried that hard. I've never laughed that hard. I've never worshiped that hard in my entire life. Being in a room with 4 women who were naming their children and in a sense having a memorial service for their unborn children that had been aborted. And watching these women walk out of a room where they had been in darkness and in bondage, and they found forgiveness and they were set free. Let me listen to me carefully. Some of you this morning, listen, we talk about this subject, it becomes very difficult for some of us. And I want you to know my heart this morning and God's heart, that if you have walked through that experience, listen to me, and you know somebody who's walked through this experience, let them know that God will forgive them and help them forgive themselves and set them free. God's grace covers all. Amen? And we want to be a church that offers that and embraces that truth. So God values life. Let's talk about Jeremiah for just a brief moment. And I want to illustrate this scripture here in just a second. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 4. This is what it says. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. God's speaking here. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, and to build and to plant. On your outline this morning, I'm going to tell you about the politics and the turmoil of the day in which Jeremiah lived, the principles of the day, the moral principles that were there. I want you to know that it's not a whole lot different than what it was today. Even the nation of Israel did not value life. There were those in the nation of Israel who were still, even to this day, hundreds of years past Moses, maybe even more than 1,000 years past Moses, and they were still sacrificing their children to idols. Even though God's own people did not value life. We live in a society that values choice, that values a woman's rights, and does not value human life. There seems to be a tide that is turning in some corners of our world. But it's not a lot different than the day that Jeremiah grew up in. And our calling to speak out on life and to be advocates of life and to offer life and hope and forgiveness to a lost and dying world and to hurting and broken people is no more challenging and difficult than it was in Jeremiah's day. That's where he lived. And by the way, his name means God was glorified. God glorifies. God exalts, his name meant. Pray that God would say that about our names. That we would exalt God through our lives. That we would glorify God through our lives. That we would be like a Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah was the son of a priest. His calling in life most likely would have been to be a priest because he was born in the tribe of Levi to be a priest. And being a priest would have been a whole lot easier than being a prophet. Jeremiah, his whole ministry, never saw anybody respond to his message. 40 years of ministry, never saw a person respond to his ministry. And to his prodding and his pleading and his calling and his prophesying them to return to the Lord God, and they would not do it. The second thing we know is this: God's pattern and purpose about life. How do we know God values life? How do we know that life begins at conception? Well, I want you to know, first of all, he tells us right here in this verse number 4. He says, "Behold, I formed you in the womb." Number one, God formed us. God formed us. Now, my other two children, William and Matthew, were born naturally. They were at 40 and 41 weeks, I believe. Both of them, they were full term, 7 pounds plus. Healthy babies. I got to see them both born. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life. A lot of men say, "Oh, I don't want to watch that." Man, I just stood there and I just wept. I wept at the awesome Creator God and how in one instant that baby, if once born, would drown in the fluid in which it lives and swallows. But in an instant when it's born and air hits its lungs, it has to get rid of that fluid and is alive in this side of the womb. It is alive inside the womb, but it is alive outside of it. It dawned on me this week sometime, I was thinking about this, that my precious Emma, a few years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know when the law was passed, but we called those, they were late-term abortions, they're partial birth abortions, yes. It would happen in the third trimester. The baby is born alive, and then a doctor kills that child. Thankfully, that has been outlawed. But I want you to see a picture. Hopefully, I cropped it and cleaned it out. This is Emma about 2 seconds after she was born. 29 weeks on the dot. She's looking up, her eyes wide open, saying, "What in the world am I doing out here?" She was squalling and crying. And all of a sudden, it reminded me that the Creator of the universe, though not by our design, trust me, we had Alpha and Omega. I always joked, if we had a third, we'd name him or her, "You gotta be kidding me." Boy, has she proven that to be true. But you look at that. Umbilical cord still attached. Another thing I learned. They tried to get an umbilical line to her so they could give her IV fluids and how to give her IVs. You know this? This is fascinating. Now, people want to tell me that this just all exploded one day and all just kind of evolved into this. You have veins. A baby has veins in their bodies that are directed towards a mother's placenta. I'll give you a little science lesson today I learned, all right? But when a baby is born, those vessels, some of them are like a train track, a switching mechanism happens. When the baby is born, it is taken away from that placenta. You have just a little bit of time to try to get that line, because that one particular line in the umbilical cord, instead of it going straight out the umbilical cord, it closes and goes to the liver, to the baby's liver. And the bloodstream begins to not go just to the mother's placenta. It goes just then through. Wanda, are you impressed? I knew this. Is this impressive? This is good, isn't it? Wanda's a delivery nurse at Forest General. I'm just sitting there with my mouth wide open. They're like, "Isn't that amazing?" I'm like, "It is, but it's not. That's God. God is the Creator of life." Listen, people want to tell me, "I'm just not of much value. Nobody values me." Don't ever say that. God created you. God formed you in your mother's womb. There are no mistakes in God's agenda. There is no mistakes in God's plan. You were formed by the hands of Almighty God. Therefore, you and every person alive is of value to God. Not only does He form us and create us, secondly, there's a lot more I could say about this, but secondly, He knows us. God says here, I knew you. You were in the womb. Psalm 139, we just heard it read just a moment ago. For you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed body. That means that God, before creation, God already saw your birth. God, before eternity, before time began, saw your birth and your life and your death. He's already seen the whole thing. He knows you. All the days that were ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isaiah 44, verse 2. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb. Isaiah 49 says, He who formed me in the womb of be, to, sorry, he who formed me in the womb to be His servant. Job 31 verse 15. Did not he who made in the womb make them? God knows you. It's on one of those pictures you saw, the varnix, is that how you said that word? Varnix, right? Little spine hairs on a baby that by the time they're full of term, it disappears. But he's got all this little fine little hair. The Bible says, now, for some of you, this is easier for God than others, but the Bible says that God knows every hair on your head, every hair on your body. God knows every hair on little 2-pound, 7-ounce Emma. Not only that, the Bible says in Psalm 139 later on, in other places too, he says that he knows and thinks about you, you individually, every one of us individually. This gives us a headache. We do good to think about more than two things at one time. Now, ADD people can do about three, but we just don't really do them all very well. God thinks about every person in this room, the Bible says, more than all the sands on all the seashores put together. God thinks about you individually more than that in a day's time. Hello. That's a lot of thinking. You say that somebody, you say to your spouse, some of you have been married 15, 60 years, and you could say, I know you. Listen, no, you don't. God knows you. He values you. Thirdly, God set us apart. He tells Jeremiah that I have set you apart. I have consecrated you. I have set you apart before you were even born until right now when I place this call on your life. Folks, God has set you apart as a follower of Christ, just as he did Jeremiah. He sets you apart. The Bible calls us to be in the world, but not of the world. To be apart from the things of the world, but yet calling to tell the world that God values life. And we must speak for the unborn. And fourthly, amazingly, he chose us. God chose Jeremiah for a specific purpose. And I want you to know that though God may not call any of you to be a prophet, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God called me to be a preacher. There is no doubt in my mind. I knew it from when I was a young junior high student that God began to stir my heart. I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And now here I am 42 years later, some probably almost 30 years to the date that I surrendered to the ministry. But listen, God has a call for your life and mine, and it's not necessary. Everybody can't be a preacher. Thank goodness. God's got a call on your life. Students, God has a plan for your life. Children, listen to me, boys and girls. God has a plan for your life. He has set you apart. He has chosen you. You are chosen this morning. Listen, just these four phrases, these one verse right here, you come into contact with somebody this week that thinks that they're nothing, that they don't value themselves. Break open the Word of God and say to them, listen, you are of great value. God knows you. God formed you. God loves you. God sets you apart. And God chose you. Though you may not feel chosen, you were chosen of God. And all of our callings are different. And how we live that calling out and how in this particular subject we're talking about to value life, how we live that out will be different. For me, it's serving on a board of a pregnancy choices center yet to open in May of this year, right next door to Planned Parenthood. Why? Because we want to offer life. A sonogram where they can come and see their unborn child, not a blob of tissue, not a fetus, but that of a child that is yet to be born. And they can see that child and say, I choose life. To support it monthly, to do a baby bottles when we do it in the spring, to find out how you can volunteer, other things we'll talk about, to say, I value life. Now, I want you to notice Jeremiah's paralysis. Jeremiah does exactly what Moses does, and listen, what a lot of us do as well. God calls us to do something, and we know it. Listen, let me be clear. Some of you this morning, this message, here's the part for you, okay? God has called you to do something, and your answer up to this point has been Jeremiah's. Here it is. You ready? Oh, no. Not me. That's somebody else's job. I'm not the person for that job. I'm too old. I'm too young. I can't speak. I talk too much. I don't have the personality. I don't have the gifts. And we make all kinds of excuses that lead us to paralysis. And we do nothing. And we find our lives unfulfilled because we're not serving. We're not living out the calling God's placed on our lives. And so Jeremiah here, three things. The first thing he says is, I love this, I'm terrified. He says, alas, Lord God, meaning, here's the English version, holy cow, Lord, are you kidding me? You want me, a young 19-year-old kid, to be a prophet? That's why students, teenagers, God says in His Word in 1 Timothy, He says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but instead by example, with your how you speak and how you live, show yourself to be an example. But listen, it's okay to be terrified. I was terrified to come to Petal. What's so bad about Petal? Well, not Petal in and of itself, but scared to leave where I was and comfortable and steady paycheck and everything was good. And God said, get up and go. And I'm like, but I'm terrified. I don't want to go. And I didn't have the other problem. I'm not ever tongue-tied. I can usually run my mouth pretty easily. That's not funny. That's not funny at all. It's true. Thank you, my father-in-law. Amen. That is true. Jeremiah says, I'm tongue-tied. Lord, I can't do what you're calling me to do. And thirdly, he says, I'm a teenager. But notice what God says. Notice God's answer. Listen, this is God's answer for some of you. Don't miss this. You say, well, I can't really do anything about speaking out of life. I can't really do anything in my calling. Oh, yes, you can. What does he tell Jeremiah? First of all, he says, I will point you where to go. That means I got to listen. That means people like me that talk a lot have to shut our trap long enough to listen for God's direction, His voice. Because listen, God does speak today. Now, I wish, and all of us do many times, God would speak audibly. Go now. Lord, do I go to Petal?
Yes.
That's what I was waiting for. I never heard it. I'm looking for the burning bush. I'm looking for the fleece. I'm looking for it all. Why do I go? Hey, but God speaks through His people. God speaks through His Word. God will speak through your spouse. God will speak through your children. God will speak, I pray to God, through your preacher. God will speak through your life group leader. God will speak through your deacon. God will speak through a co-worker, through a mom or a dad, through His Word, through a song. God will speak to you and say, I will point you where to go. Listen, God's already pointed to you where to go. You just got to get off your blessed assurance and go. Amen. Thank you, choir. Secondly, I'll show you where to go, but secondly, I will provide what you need. Well, Lord, I don't have what I need. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the talents. I don't have the abilities. God often doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He says, I will give you the words to say. He even told the disciples because they were terrified. He says, listen, you stand before rulers and authorities. He says, I will give you the words to say. I won't give it to you before then. And so for some of you, the call for some of you is to go share the gospel with a friend in third period. Right? Y'all with me? You with me? Third period in science or fourth period in math. God's got a friend in your heart in the show choir or somebody that God's going to put you in contact with in your job or in your business. And your thing to step out is to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to open my mouth, but you better put words in my mouth because I'm going to get the cotton mouth and go, God will give you the words. I'll provide you what you need. Thirdly, I will protect you as you speak. Jeremiah was going to go up against opposition, people who are not going to say, oh, thank you, Jeremiah, for telling us what a great sinner we are. Thank you, Jeremiah. You ever told anybody lately they were a sinner? Have you ever walked up in a conversation? The Bible says you are a sinner. People don't usually go, oh, well, thanks. I've been feeling like a sinner. Hey, thanks for sharing with me. Oh, I think you're a sinner too. And I say, I am. I was. Now, thank God by the grace of God, and now he calls me a saint. Isn't that funny? But I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I will protect you. I will deliver you. Fourthly, I will empower you. The Bible says here, the Lord touched his mouth. Some of us, we just need to pray, God, would you touch my mouth this morning? Would you touch my hands? We're almost a year gone by from our tornado, February the 10th. I remember that day, Sunday. We were talking about this morning, praying that that doesn't repeat in February the 10th again. Listen, there were some of you in this room, you had no idea what God would do through you, through your hands, through your feet. You had no idea what you were capable of doing, but God did. And there are circumstances that will come in your life that God will empower you to speak because of where you've walked. Some of you have encouraged your preacher and his wife because some of you have walked the same journey that we're walking, and you're able to say to me, I know how you feel. That's cool for you to be able to say. Some of you that have had those preterm babies. But it's also cool for us because we find great encouragement in that when we are discouraged and scared and afraid. Not being able to be with your child and leave her at the hospital and have to drive off. Heartbreaking. But you find words of encouragement. So God will empower you. See, I believe that God brings things into our lives that allow us to speak into the lives of others. For I have no doubt that God will use this in our lives. And he already has. I'll be honest with you. We're learning. My wife and I are planners. We like organization. We're both OCD. We don't like chaos at all. And that's all our lives have been the last 5 months, chaos. Somebody asked me the other day, what are you going to do tomorrow? What's happening next week? I said, I'll be honest with you as I can honestly be. I'm going to go to bed tonight, and I'm going to get up tomorrow morning, and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do. Now, I'm going to have a plan. I got a calendar. I've got meetings this week. But I'll drop it in a heartbeat if I have to. Got to live a day at a time. God will empower you. Notice the last thing, and we're through this morning. Our participation and our purpose for us as individuals. Here's where let's get practical. Number one, notice this. You and I are called to prize life, to value it highly, that it is a prized possession, that people that know you know where you stand on the issue of life. I want every person in Petal to know that Petal First Baptist unashamedly, unequivocally stands for life from the birth in the womb all the way to the grave. For we don't speak on life just about abortion. We also speak about in many states, in other countries of the world where euthanasia is becoming very, very popular. Folks get too old and too much problems. We take care of that. Are their words. But yet we as a church of the living God stand and say, no way. We value life. Because God values our lives and God values their lives. Prize life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you value life? Do you value your life? Do you value the lives of others? Are you living a life that is full and rich in Jesus Christ? Secondly, we are called to pray for life. See, prayer is where the battle is fought. Praying over legislative things that come up. Praying for women who are dealing with crisis pregnancies. To pray. If you don't do anything else, you can pray. Thirdly, we're called to promote life, to speak out in the moments that God gives us. There's actually I don't know if you students know, some high school students know, there is actually a I don't know what you call it, my brain is just not going to grab it. At the high school, there's a group that is a pro-life group. I can't think of the name of it. Y'all are aware. There are things that high schoolers can do. I think they're going to do some things for the pregnancy center. You and I can speak at the right moments that we're given to speak about life, that we value life. Speak out. Secondly, we're called to protect life. We have a responsibility. Church, I want to be honest with you. A few years ago, I wanted to speak out for life, but I know what to do. And I know like yesterday they had a rally at the state capitol for life. I don't know if you knew about it, but they had it usually on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And I'm not a rallier. I'm not a marcher. I mean, I don't even like to walk really anywhere. You're never going to see me. Well, I don't say never. Most likely, you're probably going to never see me run a marathon, ever. Now, some of you love to run. Tony Ducker, man, running. This man is insane. Other of you that run, Chris Rhodes. I mean, I envy you because you're in a whole lot better shape than I am. But you won't see that. Why do I say that? Well, I'm not a marcher. I'm not a rallier. I'm never going to handcuff myself to a gate. You know, there are people who do that. And they're radical about that, to try to save lives. And so I found myself, like you might find yourself, well, then what do you do? I mean, really, what can you do? And I want to pray, and I certainly prayed, and I spoke out about life when the opportunity arose, and I helped post abortive women, and I wanted to, but what could I do? And so all of a sudden, this ladies in my church and some ladies gathered together began to pray and said, listen, we need to open a crisis pregnancy center. I'm like, a what? I didn't even know what it was. Got involved with this ministry and saw the beauty of it and saw hundreds of women come through who were having crisis pregnancies. Hundreds come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Those that would never darken the door of any church because they were afraid. They would be afraid they would be condemned or looked down upon or shamed because they had an unplanned pregnancy. And God made it clear to me when I moved here in our first 6 weeks, they got a phone call from a young lady in. She's in this area. I'll just leave it at that. Teenager, unplanned pregnancy. Parents wanted her to have an abortion. She was scared to death. She called Dee, and she came and met with us. We talked with her about choosing life and her rights even as a young lady. So then God opened doors for us to open the Pregnancy Choices Center here because I didn't know what to do. How can I help save value of life? Well, I found there were ways. Open this center. Some of you are going to find time to volunteer, to answer a phone. Some of you are going to, I pray, will be trained to be a counselor, to talk to women and help them walk through their process. All kinds of ways you can be involved in a ministry like that. And there are other ministries beyond just pregnancy choices you can be involved in to say yes to life. And really the other part of this puzzle, and we've already kind of dove into this as a church family, is we're called to provide life. You see, as we have a church going to say, well, we want to provide life, then we can't just speak on that issue and leave the other alone because that means there are going to be more babies born. And there are more babies that mamas that can't take care of them. So then we have the second piece of this puzzle, and that is adoption and fostering. We have just an uncanny number of families who have adopted children right here in our own church family. And so there's a ministry called the Fathers, what is it called, Dad? My brain just cannot do it. The Fathers' Children Orphan Care Ministry, right here in our church. And you can be involved in that, and that's still an evolving thing, but some of you came to a meeting, and I know they're going to get in touch with you. Melody, where are you, Melody? Raise your hand, Melody. She's in the back. She's not here. They ought to see you. That's frightening. Jordan, raise your hand. See Jordan. He'll talk to his wife, the boss lady, and talk to her. Some of you signed up for foster care, talking about the information about foster care. We've not forgotten about that. Should have gotten a letter, hopefully, in the mail, and we're going to do that. Some of you say, I want to foster. I want to help provide a home to a child who needs it. There are hundreds of children in foster care in Forest County. Some of you may even feel led, called to adopt. And I want to encourage you that you will pursue those things. And not just say, well, yeah, we value life and leave it at that. But you'd really value life. Don't do nothing. Do something. Let us value life the way God does. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. It is so relevant, though written thousands of years ago. It is just as relevant today as it was then. Lord, I pray for any person this morning that is yet to understand the value of life, their own lives, and the value that you place on their lives by sending your son, Jesus, to die for them. That this morning they would admit they're a sinner, ask you to forgive them of all of their sins, believe that you are the Son of God, and confess you as Savior, and commit their life to you as Lord. They would do that today, right where they sit. They can come and find Chris myself here this morning and say, I want to know how to follow Christ. I want to have that kind of life. I want to have life and have it more abundantly. I pray that there would be those that would be bold to step out. For others, Lord, they would find their role and their place in this part of saying yes to life, to value life, to help others value life. Father, for some, it's a calling that you're placing on them, and maybe to value life might be for some of them, Lord, to grab that sign-up list that'll be at the table out in the back and say, I want to be a mentor to a child that's living in a home that they're struggling. And I just want to love them and pray for them and help them and sacrifice a little of my time to help invest eternity in their life. Maybe for some to serve in a ministry here in our church or whatever it is you're calling us to do, Lord, maybe we'll be listening. Maybe you call us to join this church family. We're already Christ's followers, and maybe God's calling you to join this church family. We'd be obedient to that call. Father, whatever it is you're asking us to do, I pray we would do it in accordance to your will and be listening. Lord, for you might want us to go across the room. There might be somebody the message has touched them in a different way, and they're struggling this morning. And we'd be sensitive to go and to pray with them and to love on them and encourage them. Maybe God will put someone in your heart. If God does that, don't sit in that seat. You go find them and you pray with them. Maybe they come to an altar and God puts it on your heart to pray with them. We don't want anybody here at an altar alone. I'm going to come pray with them and encourage them. Father, move now by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. We give you this time. Thank you that you know our name as we sing to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.